Welcome to episode 9 from Stories from the VO Booth. I'm your host, voiceover talent and voiceover trainer, Tina Zaremba. Today we're talking with one of my agents, Amy Oppegard from Wayman Talent. I am so excited for you to hear Amy's thoughts on the industry, what makes talent stand out in her mind, and how to get in touch with her agency. So without further ado, here's our talk. I want to start off by asking you about your work as an agent and how long you've been at Wayman. But first, I want to find out, how the heck did you decide to become an agent? Because it's not anything that they really talk about at Career Day, do they?
Right. No, they don't. So I graduated with an advertising major. And so I jumped right into advertising. So after graduation, I, you know, did just silly jobs and then moved to Baltimore, Maryland, where I got an internship at an ad agency. I worked there for a couple of years, and then when I moved back to Minneapolis, I worked at Fallon, so on the account services side. And so this was not my intention to become a voice agent. It just fell into my lap because my good friend, Lucia, who's the on-camera agent here, she called me one day and just said, we've got an opening. I'm working at the Wayman agency for a voiceover agent. And I think with my connections of being in the advertising world and knowing kind of how that piece works,
right,
and working with creatives and working with account directors and producers and whatever, she thought of me, and that's how it happened.
So when did you make the transition? How long have you been at Wayman?
So I've been here for 20 years. In September of 1997 is when I started. Isn't that crazy? So it'll be 21 years this fall.
Wow. You've seen some changes then, I bet,
yes,
in the industry.
Oh my God. I just giggle sometimes. I think when I first started, the technology has been huge. I mean, I was doing auditions, recording auditions on those little MP3, like little discs, these little mini discs. I had to like scroll and edit, and it was very time consuming. And I would have to burn a CD, and we would have to burn the CD and then messenger it over to clients.
And they would I remember that.
You remember all that.
My son says to me, what's a CD? I'm like, oh my God, because he's so used to MP3s.
Right.
So what do you like about your work?
I get to work with really, really talented, fun talent with so many different unique backgrounds and stories while also providing a service to some of the best producers and creatives around. It's just a good balance for me. I mean, that's what was appealing, I think, when I first came to interview here, of I can stay in this world of advertising.
Yeah.
But yet now I can kind of jump over to this creative production piece and kind of have a little bit of both.
One thing that I noted is I really do see Wayman as strong women who work from a place of integrity, strength, and collaboration with not only their talent, but with their clients. And I'm just curious, is that something that was intentionally set, or are you guys just like, you know, is it just synchronistic that the team there works seamlessly so well?
I think I would say it's a little bit of both. I mean, when Susan hires an agent, of course she's looking for people with these qualities because our job is so collaborative. Of course, it hasn't always worked that way. You know, me being here for 20 years, it hasn't always been perfect. This particular group here now is very strong. You got the millennials, you've got me who's been here for 20 years, Lucia's been here for 21, Julia's been here for 10, you know, and then 4 and 5 years. So it's a really awesome group of people. And you've been here. I mean, you know, we sit right next to each other, kind of on top of each other. And it's this open environment. And we do have to talk and work together and be doing our jobs, yet also listening to what's going on, you know, in the rest of the room to make sure we're all, you know, working on the same page and, you know, helping each other out. It's great.
So let me ask you, what do you look for when you take on new voice talent?
Well, first they have to have a professional demo. You know, of course I listen to that first, and I really am doing that first listen. Just, okay, do I like this voice? Am I attracted to this voice? Is it something that I'd want to hear on the radio or TV? And then I listen and for the, you know, it'd be marketable. And I think about my clients and the kind of work that I service. Is this voice going to work well in this market?
Any trends that you're seeing, you know, when you just said, I think about my clients and what they would want and how I can service them. Do you see any trends that are big right now for voice talent?
It's always good if you're conversational. It's always good to not be too selly. I mean, it's the same stuff that I feel like is kind of stuck with the times. And, you know, wouldn't you agree?
Oh, I think it's become even more so now.
Yeah.
Where they, you know, if I hear anyone else, it's always just like conversational, real.
Right.
Real.
Right. They don't want that announce.
No.
80s, no. 90s voice.
No, not at all. Nothing big.
What do you think of having demos that are for a specific niche? So for instance, I'm looking at doing work with PBS. Mm-hmm. And it was clear to me that in my demo, I only had one little spot on my promo demo that could possibly work. And then I thought, you know what? I'm just going to create a little demo mm-hmm. that is specific for that market. So what do you think about niche demos where someone has a healthcare demo or an agriculture demo?
Yeah, I think it's great. I really do. I mean, not every market's going to have those. I get, people's e-learning demos and I don't have a need for that, but I still like to hear it. Plus some of that stuff can be, you can kind of use it as a narration as well. So I think it's great. And I get plenty of requests of people wanting stuff like that. And I have to say, all I have is a commercial demo. And they need to somehow, this talent being able to do a PBS, like, you know what I mean? I think it's great. I think it's changing that many, many talent are doing niche demos. And I think that's great.
Well, because everything's about customizing,
yes.
you know, and so you need to be able to service your consumer, if you will.
Yes.
And
yes.
that's one way possibly to do that. Mm-hmm. So what do you see as successful traits in the voiceover talent that you work with? Is it confidence? Is it, I don't know.
Yeah. Got to have resilience.
Yeah.
That's big. That's huge. A good work ethic. Competence, creative, enthusiastic. Those that work on their craft and can adjust with the ever-changing needs of the industry are the most successful in my book. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't feel like you ever get to a point you've arrived, right? You know, like just like a golf pro or a hockey pro. I know hockey is big in Minnesota. They would not stop practicing. So it's something that we continually have to do. I hear you.
Yes. And I think that's becoming more and more apparent. And I think talent are starting to figure that piece out.
What do you think the biggest challenge talent is facing these days?
Everybody's doing it. Everybody wants to do it and they can do it. I mean, really. So the market is really just, you know this, the market is so saturated. You've got this pool of actually professional voiceover talent that actually are amazing and wonderful. And then you've got another pool of people that want to just do this. They think they can.
And it's so easy.
And it's so easy. And because of the digital age, it has made it easy, you know? And on top of that, I do think that there are plenty of voiceover seekers that are willing to hire these inexperienced talent. So I do see the emphasis being placed on cheap and fast versus the quality and professional. That's a challenge, I think, that someone like yourself, who is a professional talent, that you do face that because you're kind of competing against two different things here.
You know, my sister's a producer and she has had talent reach out to her and they're like, $25 for a tag. And she's like, what? And I'm sure if people, well, I'm not sure, but I would think that if you hire someone that is lowballing themselves, like that site Fiverr, they're going to find that they're going to have to go back to that person again and again and again to get exactly what they need.
Yes. I mean, I'm hoping that this will change. I think everything kind of does circle back around. So I'm hoping that the value of hiring you guys, a professional voiceover artist, will come back into play. And people will start to see that and recognize that. I mean, there are a lot of people that do. I mean, don't get me wrong. My gosh, there are a lot of people that do see the value. But I think the market is so big and saturated that there are those that don't.
Right.
And that's hard.
They just hire their niece to voice their corporate video and then they freak out when they hear it.
Right. Yeah. Right.
One last question, and I didn't put this down. Any advice for talent that's starting to shop around for agents, you know, when they're looking at an agent? Because I think sometimes people just want to sign and it's a relationship.
It is a relationship. I mean, you need to be able to work together. It is collaborative. I mean, I always tell new talent that come to see me, like we don't usually sign exclusivity contracts right away because it does matter of how we work together. And let's build this relationship. Let's see how this works. And if you enjoy working with Wayman, you enjoy how we do things and vice versa, my advice would be to make sure you can connect with that agent. You feel comfortable with that agent. You trust that agent. Huge. I mean, that's kind of does that make sense?
Totally. Well, because sometimes I think people, they just feel like, I just need to get an agent. I just need to get an agent. And you can get an agent and not get any auditions from that agent. So you better have a rapport, and it better be the right fit, kind of like dating someone. Yes. Right?
Yes, exactly. Yes. You need to have the right, it needs to be the right fit. And you do need to feel comfortable being able to talk to this agent. And then the trust thing is huge. That'll build once you book jobs and once there's negotiations and all those things that come into play. But you need to be able to trust that your agent's going to have your back and going to, you know, submit you or give you opportunities that you should be given.
How can someone stay in touch with you if they want to connect with you, if they want to send their demo to you? How does that work at Wayman?
So you can, of course you can call, but the best thing to do is just to go to our website, which is wayman.com. And under the new talent tab, you can find out about, there's frequently asked questions. There's information about our process, the submission process, the interview process, all that stuff. You can find out more about us as agents. There is a submission form on the website that you would fill out and you can attach your demo to, and then you can submit. It'll just come right straight to me.
Amy, thank you so much for taking the time. As I said, I think the world of you and Wayman. I just think
you
radiate such strength and such a strong work ethic and integrity. I really do notice it from New York, and I appreciate it. And you.
Oh, you're so kind. Thank you.
All right. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you.
Stories from the VO Booth is produced at Lotus Productions in New York. Special thanks to producer and editor Sam Ufret. Stay tuned next week for episode 10, where I'm talking with my friend and voiceover talent, Mike Bratton. And reminder, you're invited to take part in my free 5-day challenge. Go to tinasremba.com/challenge to learn more and sign up. Until next time, here's to owning our voices.